Hi, and welcome to episode 3 of Chronically Christy, the sciencey bit. Hopefully by the end of this episode, you'll understand what the kidneys are, what they do and why they do it, and what happens when they don't do what they're supposed to do. So most normal, healthy people are born with two kidneys. They sit in the lower back, either side of the spine, and they're shaped like a bean. They weigh between 40 and 190 grams each, and are about 10 to 15 centimetres long. If you squeeze both of your hands into fists, that's about the size of your kidneys. The main function of them is to remove waste products and excess fluid from the body. We went through this a bit last week. Each kidney contains up to a million little units called nephrons, which each contain millions of tiny little blood vessels. When your blood enters these vessels, it gets filtered and the remaining fluid passes through to become urine. And this process maintains a stable balance of chemicals in the body, regulates the body's salt, the potassium, and the acid content. It also produces hormones that stimulate red blood cell production, controls your calcium, helps regulate your blood pressure, produces an active form of vitamin D that promotes strong bones. So basically, the kidneys are really specialised filters that we need to stay healthy. But there's many different reasons why they can develop abnormalities or stop working. The general term for kidney problems is kidney disease. If a person's kidney damage is more likely to be permanent or progressive, it's called chronic kidney disease or CKD, which is what I have. Acute damage is called AKI. One in 10 of us may have some reduction in function. This is from Kidney Research UK. But fewer than 1 in 10 of us will develop kidney failure. When not working properly, the toxins and the fluids build up, which can affect your blood pressure, which can then damage your kidneys more, and you end up in a vicious cycle. It can make you anemic because you're not producing the hormone EPO. EPO tells the bone marrow to produce red blood cells, and obviously if that's not happening, you're not making red blood cells, you become anemic. That's why many of us patients take EPO injections. Advanced disease reduces the amount of vitamin D, so we can also get bone disease and muscle weakness. The condition is usually broken down into stages 1 to 5, depending on the percent of the kidney function that the person has left. I'll go through these briefly. They're different for everybody. Everybody has different symptoms. Everybody has different progression speeds. Stage 1 is just a mild damage. Your function is still above 90%. Stage 2 is a little bit less. Stage 3A, you might start to have blood pressure problems. Stage 3B, you might start to see protein in your urine. Stage 4, 15 to 29%. You'll probably have all of those things. And then stage 5, which is less than 15% kidney function, is called end stage. And I can explain my own symptoms as, unfortunately, I am back in end stage kidney failure. Right now, I take blood pressure tablets for my blood pressure levels. I have renal anemia, for which I inject myself. I take vitamin D. I have lost function since the last time we spoke. So I am not completely swollen, I am swelling up a little. I'm getting short of breath doing the bog standard basic things that we take for granted. Coming up the stairs kills me these days. My ankles are swelled at the end of the day. Not every day, but some days. My hemoglobin has plummeted into my socks, so I am taking even more injections at home than normal to try and keep my blood levels up. But renal anemia leads to exhaustion, brain fog. I'm taking a lot longer to recover from gout flares. I'm getting arthritis in my hands. I'm having cramps, and cramps keep me awake. And then I'm getting insomnia, which is not like me at all. There are, however, lots of horrible symptoms that I'm not having yet and hope to not have, obviously. These include nausea, headaches, weight loss and poor appetite. Ha, as if. Itchy skin, erectile dysfunction for the chaps. So, as these symptoms progress, unfortunately, I am getting closer and closer to needing to go back onto dialysis. They've been prodding and poking me for a few weeks now, taking blood samples. I had surgery a few weeks ago to fix my dialysis graft, which is still going after all these years. But we'll see where I go from here. But because CKD often has no symptoms in the early stages, some people at higher risk should be getting tested. And I know people don't like to go to the doctors, but if you're at risk, you should be getting tested. It's recommended, according to the NHS, that you go and get regular tests if you have any of these following things: high blood pressure, diabetes, a past AKI, cardiovascular disease, kidney stones, lupus, a family history of CKD or an inherited disease. You've got protein in your wee with no cause. People with one kidney, like my husband. People taking long-term meds such as lithium and NSAIDs, which are very bad for your kidneys, by the way. And the tests is only a blood test and a urine test. Once a year, just for peace of mind. If you are worried, there's a free kidney health check on the Kidney Research UK website to see if you are at risk. And I'm not trying to worry you at all. Anyone with this disease knows we all progress differently and at different speeds, and people can live quite happily at an early stage for years and years and years and years before they even develop symptoms. Obviously, kidney disease can be treated with either hemodialysis, peritoneal dialysis or kidney transplantation. These are obviously all for when you reach end stage, and we're not going to go through them today. We will go through them, of course. I'm thinking next time we'll do a quick introduction to hemodialysis, as that's the one that I personally know the most about. I might even have a dialysis nurse available to speak to us. We shall see. My transplant took me from end stage up to about stage 3B. Then I probably stayed at stage 4 for 5 years. And then obviously I've slowly declined back to stage 5, where I'm going to have to start getting dialysis again soon. I'm quite glum about that, to be perfectly honest. But I know what to expect in terms of the dialysis. I did it for nearly 9 years straight. It's the symptoms I'm not so sure of, because I've not been through slow failure before. So I don't really want to start feeling nauseous and losing my appetite, though I probably could do with losing a bit of weight. I said I'd update you on my prognosis. My last blood test was 11%, which is only 1% above the dialysis threshold, which is dreadful. I did have a little cry. But I'm going for more blood tests next week, and I had a really good chat with my nephrologist, who's obviously seen all this before, and was not half as concerned as me. He agreed to put me on a very small, what I would consider small, dose of steroids for a few weeks to see if that perks the kidney up. I've probably said before, my kidney's always loved steroids since the day it went in. But I'm afraid the dose is so small it'll make very little difference. But we're trying that, see if that wakes up. And I was just having a bad day. The day I had that blood test, I wasn't very well. I did have a horrible cold. But to be honest, I don't feel much different today. I can't walk. I've hurt my leg again. Walking around on my walking stick as best I can. And getting on with it, I don't feel great, but I also don't feel ready to go back onto dialysis. I don't feel I'm poorly enough. But then how will I know? I don't know if I will know. I don't want to be one of those people that leaves it too long and then gets so sick that I'm an emergency case. So I'm trying to keep an eye on myself and look after myself. But we'll see. You never know. By the time you're listening to this, I could have had a transplant or be back on dialysis. They are trying to get me back onto the list. They're taking their sweet ass time about it. But they've got my blood results. They've done the scans. I'm just waiting for the letter. But I do, as a positive today, have a funny story to end on. There's a couple that I've known since the very early days of my kidney journey. We've never met, but we've always chatted. And it's the chap that is the kidney patient. And at this point, he was doing peritoneal dialysis. And this is, they dialyze you through fluid in your peritoneum, which stays there in your peritoneum, and they dialyze you through, I don't know. I don't understand it as much as hemodialysis. I think we'll be learning together on that episode. But I know that he woke up one night and his peritoneum had leaked, and all of the fluid had found its way into his genitals. So this poor chap woke up in the middle of the night with a huge, big, swollen cock and balls. And because we all have such a dark humour as patients, he rolled over to his wife and said, right, two options. We either call the Guinness World Book of Records or we call A&E, but we need to call someone now. And I know it's awful, but when they told me the story, it was so funny. Because obviously, in hindsight, it is funny. But you've got to keep the dark sense of humour. The things that go on in these hospitals, the things that happen to us, you've just got to laugh. Some of them are so ridiculous. But that's my funny story to end today on. I know I've not gone into super duper science nerdisms, which I am quite capable of doing. I am a nerd. I have dogs called Kirk and Spock. But I think after that you understand how the kidneys filter our blood and why we need them to. And next week I am hoping to do a little introduction to hemodialysis, maybe even to remind me of what's going to be involved, which is horrible. Got a few things going on in the meantime myself. So I hope to hear from you all on the socials and speak to you all in the meantime. Send me your questions and suggestions, and I will see you next time. Thank you for listening. Bye.